Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
Good morning, everyone. Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast. Bryce Diamond, just 2 days before the Raptors opener, home opener, season opener against the Minnesota Timberwolves. We are just one sleep away before the Denver Nuggets, the reigning champs, begin their crown defense against the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron James begins his 21st season. Incredible to look back on what this man has done, what he's accomplished, how his beard has changed over the years. His children have grown up. Bronny James starts at University of Southern California. His freshman year, it is just incredible. Bryce James looks like an absolute beast in high school. I believe he is a junior this year. Man, oh man, what an amazing ride it's been for LeBron James. But as witnesses, to be able to follow this man's life, his career, and here he is in his 21st season. Phoenix will also play Golden State. But we are more interested in the Toronto Raptors on this podcast. And after seeing the Raptors absolutely throw away a play-in game a number of months ago in the spring, it is good to now look forward to the next season and begin to talk about something fresh, something new. The roster for this Toronto Raptors team has been set. Masai Ujiri, Bobby Webster, the coaching staff led by Darko have made their final decisions. I think for the most part, what we have in this roster is what we thought we would have. There might be one slight surprise, although when you saw the preseason games, there was no kind of disguising of what Darko Rakovic and his coaching staff wanted to do. They wanted to play the guys who they felt were going to be playing. And unfortunately, for kind of a podcasting fan favorite, Jeff Doughton will not be with the Toronto Raptors. Apparently, his G League rights are with the Philadelphia 76ers team. So we will not have him. I believe that's in Delaware. But I'm sure folks will be watching when Delaware plays the Toronto Raptors, the 905, because yes, we will want to see how he performs against his old mates, and we wish him well. Jeff Doughton was a class act. He played his butt off. I thought he got really the short end of the stick last year. I thought he should have had way more opportunity, and I think he deserved it. He was talked about a lot in various podcasts. I don't think too many articles got into it because those are, you know, people who have bigger audiences, broader perspectives out there who aren't, you know, in the weeds of the games, the numbers, the personalities of the players. But yeah, when you looked at how he performed, I remember seeing him live when the Raptors played Detroit in Detroit last year, and I thought he was a really important part of that win, and I thought that he added something to our backcourt when he was on that, you know, a guy like Malachi Flynn wasn't offering last year. I think he's more of a defending type guard. And actually, there's another game in Detroit when Delano had a monster night. And we won that game as well. Actually, we swept Dwayne Casey, taking away his championship and no longer having to face him as a coach. And with Nick Nurse gone, maybe he knew it was time to call it a coaching career. He's now in the front office with the Detroit Pistons. But he was really good in that game too, Doughton. I remember he defended Ivy, the rookie last year for Detroit, very well down the stretch of that game. But we send all our love and good vibes and best of luck to Jeff Doughton. But there's a new guard who will be with us. He played for the Chicago 905 Chicago G League affiliate last year, Windy City Bulls. And his name is Javon Freeman Liberty. I talked about him briefly the last recording I did after the Chicago Bulls game. I thought he did a really nice job in all the preseason games that I saw him play. He's got speed. He is really, really good in transition. I wouldn't call him a great shooter, nor is Jeff Doughton or Marquise Noel, who's our other guard who's on the two-way deal. Ron Harper is more of a shooter and shooting guard, but Freeman Liberty, I think, could break into the Raptors lineup. Certainly if there's some injuries, certainly if Garrett Temple isn't dressing on certain nights, I think Freeman Liberty could come up. Some people are calling him JFL. You know, you might hear that reference in this podcast, even in this episode as we go on. But I think he could be a clever guy to come in to change speeds, maybe even to play next to Malachi Flynn, because Malachi doesn't push the ball the same way. Malachi is more of a half-court offense player. Height-wise, he's a little taller than Malachi. I think defensively, he's a little more astute than Malachi, certainly just maybe more aggressive. But he's also 24 years old. He's been in the league, you know, or in and around the league the last couple years. And, you know, he feels like he's ready for that next step. So we'll follow him closely when he plays for the 905, but hopefully we get a chance to watch him at the pro level, the fully pro level in the NBA on the big court under the big lights. Before we get too much more into the roster, because I think most of us at this stage, after four preseason games and with all the signings and the press conferences that were done, I want to talk a little bit about this Raptors Washington game that was played on Friday. I again got to watch it all, which was great. Has not been you know, something that I've got to do over the last year as much, with different schedules and my daughter getting older and having, you know, different interests, hell of a soccer player, and trying to get her to practice. I have not been as focused at watching full length games for the Raps, certainly not the preseason. But I did get to watch the full game against Chicago and then against Washington. And Washington came out shooting the ball very well. They came with some swagger. They came with some talk. Of course, Jordan Poole leading the way on the talk side. Danny Avdija, the Israeli-born player, he was 4-for-7 from behind the arc, and he shot the ball really well to start the game. I think most of his points came in the first half, and then they started tightening things up. Tyus Jones, who came over in one of the trades this summer, Tyus Jones, a young guy as well, just played in Memphis, He played the game very well. Didn't shoot the ball necessarily well, but he was organizing things and navigating things as a guard really well. Good to see him perform at a high level, now in a starting role. I thought Gafford worked hard, hit the glass in that first quarter, and they had a quick advantage to start the game. And then Jordan Poole's mouth got a little too ahead of himself, started getting under the wrong guy's skin, and then things started to go the other way and very quickly. And instead of this game being an advantage for the Washington Wizards, the Toronto Raptors snatched the first quarter, going on a run and leading 31-24 going into the second. The second quarter was pretty competitive. Raptors did lead by as many as 15 in the second quarter. I thought they could have blown it out. Pascal did not shoot the ball as well. There's still turnover issues that the Raptors are going to have to manage better when the regular season starts. But defensively, they had really stepped it up. They actually invited Jordan Poole back into the second quarter to a block party. Nope, there was no Poole party in the second half. The water had run dry. But there was a block party, and Jordan Poole was the guest of honor. I think he was blocked at least four times in the second quarter, which led to some hilarious moments and a lot of fun. And then the Raptors took a six-point lead going into halftime, 58-52. But you felt like there was, you know, an explosion coming. You felt like the Raptors had another gear. That the Wizards did not, that their bench wanted to come out strong and that they could take advantage of the Washington bench, even though DeLon Wright, a former Raptor, a vet, was on that bench. You just didn't feel like that bench was going to really be able to keep up. Gallinari had played a good second quarter. Kispert had shot the ball pretty well in that second quarter, even had a dunk. And then things just kind of halted for them. And every advantage that the Raptors wanted to take, they could. And the second quarter score, sorry, the third quarter score was 43-22, game blown wide open. Now, part of why that game, the game was blown wide open, OG Anunoby was very strong. Scottie Barnes dominated. Again, 23 points off 14 shots. He was 3 of 6 from downtown, 10 of 14. OG efficient, 15 points. He also had 4 assists, which was nice to see. He shot 2 for 5 from downtown, but it was the bench. Jalen McDaniels was 2 of 4 from behind the arc. Malachi Flynn was 3 of 5. Grady Dick was 4 of 5. A lot of that coming in that second half of that third quarter. And as they dialed up from long distance and went, you know, accelerated the pace, made Washington make some mistakes, the game became very easy, especially on the offensive end. And this was a very efficient game. But when you beat a team by 21 points in a quarter and you're already up 6, the game is over, especially in the preseason. And definitely Jordan Poole was waving the white flag by the end of that quarter. I don't think he played any of the last 18 minutes of this game. He knew that he had ran his mouth a little too much, and the Toronto Raptors cruised to victory. Great to see Grady Dick and Malachi Flynn be on the same court at the same time and shoot the ball as well as they did. When you added McDaniels in that group, and you saw the guys like Precious Achiuwa play in this game, and Chris Boucher be aggressive. Both of them got to the line twice. They were 7 of 8 combined from the line. Otto Porter was also in this game. He played 10 minutes. Didn't do anything spectacular. Had a bucket inside off a rebound. He also hit a couple free throws. But, you know, just going through the motions as a vet. Probably the stat that jumps out the most in that second unit was Grady Dick, plus 30. I think he just came in at the right times in that first quarter and then in the third quarter. A lot of guys were in the plus double digits, but he was a game high plus 30. But yeah, this game was over before the third quarter ended, and it was really fun. Really fun to see the Raptors have an easy game. As we go through the lineup, everybody for the Toronto Raptors who's still with this team played except for Christian Koloko, but Christian Koloko was available. And that's really good news. You know, when I talked about my curiosities about this team, Jakob Poeltl and Christian Koloko, from a roster perspective, who's going to be able to be out there. Those two guys, I think, can really change things the most from where they were last season. I think this is a really rock-solid team. I don't think they're, you know, winning any championships. I don't think they're going to contend for the conference in any stretch of the imagination. But I do think that they can be a pest, just like Dennis Schroeder embodies. But I think as well that when you have that those big centers who can rim protect and who, in Christian Koloko's case, could stretch the floor, certainly Jakob Poeltl can stretch the floor with his passing, and then they give you that verticality on the offensive end. Not just defensively by shutting down, you know, the easy lobs and shutting down maybe passing lanes with their length and intimidate near the rim. But they also give you a chance to lob to them and just give you interior size and positioning. And who knows, you know, the stuff that Koloko has been doing to this point. I know that he's been in practice. I know that he has been shooting the ball. He just hasn't had a chance to be part of the preseason. And it might take him a week or two before he gets his first minutes with this team in the regular season. But those two guys being available, Jakob playing the other night, it's really, really good to see. And needed for this team if we're going to be competitive and have a chance to make the playoffs this year. So that's good. Their last season, I think there were a number of surprises that we saw around the NBA. I think one of the surprises was how good OKC was, not how good Shea was, but how good the entire team was. And I think part of that is a coaching thing, but I also think it's a belief, and it's who's on your roster, who, you know, what type of players, how do they play together? And I think, you know, as we talked about chemistry and leadership under Darko, even Dennis Schroeder in his interview yesterday after practice said very similar thing. If we play hard, if we play together, there's a lot of possibility. And I think that's really wise words coming from a vet in the league of, what, 9 seasons? And I think this will ring true for the Toronto Raptors. We have the personnel to be competitive if they're healthy. And if we can be consistent from a shooting perspective, You know, are we going to be in the top five in three-point shooting? We're not. But if we're around, you know, 15, 16, and certainly our defense is a top five, we're going to give ourselves chances to win every night. And I think that's all you can ask for. Now, Scotty being as efficient as he's been in the preseason, Pascal showing flashes of that, and knowing OG can give you sparks, and he can get hot quite quick. I think our starting lineup is pretty rock solid. The bench brings certainly some X factors. If Malachi Flynn is going to play in that second unit, if Gary Trent, who did not play against Washington, but will obviously be part of opening night against the Timberwolves at home, you know, what's that combination look like? They definitely could raise the floor for the Toronto Raptors if they improve, if they have that synergy. So it's exciting. It's exciting to even think about these things. It's exciting to have more of a positive state of mind with a clean slate in front of us. So I hope you enjoy opening night. I hope you enjoy this roster. I hope you get to know this roster a little better. Some of the players on this roster that maybe you don't know as well, the new guys like McDaniels, maybe you forgot about Otto Porter, Dennis Schroeder, of course, he will be a staple this season. So important to get to know him. But I think there's a lot to be positive about. You know, when you look at Dennis Schroeder's assist to turnover ratio last year, you see in the preseason very similar numbers. He had 11 assists, 3 turnovers the other day. He's very close. His average last year, you know, 4 assists to 1 turnover. That's excellent. That's top 10 in the league type stuff. And if he can provide that for the Toronto Raptors, plus his pesky defense, and embody that as a leader, I think we're looking okay. Again, there's no championships here. I said 45 wins. We'll be on the cusp of that 6th seed. If we can get on a run at some point in the season, take advantage of lower seeds, take advantage of home stretches, home stands, I think we'll do very well. But first game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, they have high hopes with Karl-Anthony Towns being fully healthy, spending as much money as they have on Gobert and knowing the superstar they believe that is emerging with Anthony Edwards. You know, they feel that they can be competitive in the West and maybe snatch a 5 seed this season. We'll see about that. And the Raptors will have something to say. It'll also be interesting to see the brothers, Jalen and Jaden McDaniels, play against each other. They're not twins. I think Jalen is a year or two older, but it'll be interesting just to see them go against each other this time for Jalen and Toronto Raptors jersey. All right, y'all, lots to talk about, but looking forward to be able to do in the post game against the Timberwolves. Mad love to you on this Monday, crispy fall morning, and hope you get some of that sunshine, soak it up, and enjoy your day. Peace. I don't do dreaming, boy. I'm on your culture. I do arts. So give my arts. That's it.